It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters here. It's 9:36. It's time to talk about money. So we've moved from politics back to all the things that we talk about here on a normal Money Matter. Sure, we talk about politics, and Washington has been in the driver's seat when it comes to Wall Street. We just finished up a rebroadcast of a political event that I hosted really Brand Bank hosted it. I just moderated it. 18 candidates vying for Tom Price's seat in the Georgia 6th District. And we heard from Karen Handel, John Ossoff, Bob Gray, Judson Hill. Really fascinating to sit and listen to 18 future political candidates sparring with each other. And now we're back. So special election, of course, is April 18th. Now we're back to how all of this drives markets. A lot of that is obviously coming from Washington, but we just finished up the first quarter. So here we are, 2017, first quarter in the books, up about 4.5%. If you look at the Dow Jones, S&P 500, up about 5.5%. So far this young year, 2017. And we are right here, so it's good to be back talking about the very thing we talk about every Sunday, and that's your money and how we get to retirement sooner than we think. That's the theme here. And I'm right here in WSB headquarters. So we're right here at, let's call it Bridge Collapse Central. By the way, the coverage this week on the Bridge Collapse from WSB really was phenomenal. A big thanks to Mark Arum and the whole triple traffic team and all of the folks that guided us through what was a scary time. I was in the car with one of my oldest son and then a friend of his coming back for lacrosse practice we had in kind of the Chastain area. And coming back at around 8, which was as things were, the fire had been, it was out at that point. But the kids are, it's nerve-wracking. It's like, wait a minute, that's right next to our house. You know, it's probably a quarter of a mile from where we live. Hey, it's a scary moment. And the wonderful thing is that no one was hurt. And it's pretty amazing, actually. But the team here at WSB was really phenomenal for that. Traffic, again, is going to continue to be a nightmare here, certainly in Midtown, as people are using cut-throughs and new ways and getting rerouted. But traffic for everyone in the Atlanta Metro is going to be a mess for a long time. Of course, you can rely on us here at WSB to get you through that. So switching over to, if we go money, we go traffic, now let's, we go politics, traffic, now let's talk about money. One of the fascinating statistics that I've found this week, and one of the more fascinating statistics I've run into in a long time, and this has to do with where we stand. If you go back last week, we had the 88th day of the year. The S&P 500, which still hasn't closed negative year to date here in 2017. That's only happened in 4 years since 1980. So 2013, 2012, 2006, and 1987. What happened in those years? By the end of the year, what was the result? The performance in those years, 87 was the worst. 87 was still up net positive 2%. 2006, up 14%, 12, 13%, 13, up 29% on the S&P 500. So if you really think about it, getting this far in the year says something potentially for where we end up at the end of 2017. Today I want to talk about, though, what I think is of critical importance. And if you've, we go into this mode of accumulation, and we're looking for total return in our 20s and our 30s and our 40s, really in our 50s. We're just trying to save as much as we can, and we're going to grow that at the most efficient, rapid pace within reason. And then you get to a point where you're, let's call it, you get to retire early, you're in your 50s or 60 or 65, and you've got to just live off of the harvest. You have to live off everything you've saved. And one of the very biggest fears in surveys over and over again, the number one money fear for most Americans is just running out. in your later years of retirement, and we're if you're spending down your principal. So the question is, how do you end up preserving what you have? How do you end up utilizing what you've saved? How do you harvest what you've saved? How do you use it efficiently so it doesn't run down to zero, or it doesn't get low enough that it makes you nervous and it creates anxiety? And that is all about distribution. How do you get to the point where you're doing this in the most efficient way? And I want to talk about a really effective way to do this and think about this as you think about this or approach these same years when you're approaching the harvest. How do you sustain the harvest? Phone lines open, by the way, and at some point we're going to get to calls, certainly. So if you have questions and you'd like to let us know about that, it's the fun part about Money Matters. Ryan Ely here to take your call, to patch them through here to me, Wes Moss, here on a Sunday morning. The number 404-872-0750. Again, 404-872-0750. Now, if you've been listening to Money Matters for a long time, you'll know that two of our major themes here on the show, one, income investing. It's a way, of course, to generate income, cash flow from the investments that you have with the least amount of selling possible. In an ideal world, we live on just what gets generated every single quarter or month. And number two theme, low cost investing. And I want to describe this methodology that I briefly touched on that involves both of those topics today. And I want to take the discussion beyond just using ETFs. When I say ETFs, exchange-traded funds, that's one of my favorite vehicles. Exchange-traded funds are just baskets, simply baskets of securities. And they can hold pretty much anything, stocks or bonds or REITs, international stocks, various sectors. And I like ETFs for a lot of reasons. Three of them, let's very simply, one, super low cost. If you look at a sector ETF like financials, XLF, costs about 0.14 of a percent. Standard & Poor's Dividend Aristocrat Index, SDY, 0.35 of a percent. Vanguard Dividend Growth Dividend Appreciation ETF, 0.09%. They're also highly tax efficient. If you have a basket of securities that doesn't have a lot of turnover, then you have very few tax events that are happening underneath the hood, unlike a mutual fund that typically gets traded or turned over extensively. And then number three, we can go very broad with ETFs, or you can go very narrow. You can have the entire market index in one ETF, or you can have just a specific biotech sector. So there's a lot of choice now within ETFs. And I like them. I like ETFs for all those reasons. But in some cases, particularly when you're in those harvest years, when you need the money, you're living on the money, there may actually be something that's even one step better than just ETFs. Yes, even one step better. And that may be holding individual companies. And that's this one step better when it comes to distribution. It may even be better to hold individual companies. My God, is there some merit in the original way of doing things? The answer is yes. So let me walk you through this. So one, for years now, particularly over the last year, we've talked about how own your age in bonds is to some extent dead. At least for now it is. Until rates get back to a more normal level, they are own your age in bonds as a rule of thumb. I am not subscribing to. And I've replaced own your age in bonds with the 15-50 stock rule, which again is the fact that if you've got 15 years or more in your investment time horizon, you should really think about having at least 50% in the equity side of the equation, the stock side of the equation. The stock rule in here, this is a newer rule of thumb to replace own your age in bonds. It inherently may increase how much you have in stocks, or the stock allocation may be a little bit higher than it may have been under own your age in bonds in that methodology. Well, just because you have less in bonds doesn't mean that you need any less income, right? So how do you make up for the interest that's lost with owning a lower percentage in bonds? How do you make up for the bond and bonds that have lower yields because of what the Federal Reserve is doing, keeping rates so low? Part of that replacement income for so many families is going to have to come from the stock side of the equation. one way or another. And think about this. Your pre-retirement game plan, let's say, as you're, again, 30s, 40s, 50s, it's all about total rate of return. The formula is really simple. Total return is just growth plus income. And as you move into the harvest years, the years where you need to live off of your money, cash flow becomes even more important than total return for most folks. There's more emphasis on the I in that equation, or income. So if you're 55 or under, you're still probably operating under the rule total return is growth plus income with an emphasis on growth. When you're 60 plus, total return still equals growth plus income, but now there's more emphasis on the income part of the equation. More I, less G, versus more G, less I. So let's go back to talking about ETFs and individual stocks. Again, I love ETFs as a vehicle, and I use a lot of ETFs in the portfolios that I build for my own investments, but there's some real merit to owning individual stocks. And let's look at this following problem. We're going to talk about how we solve this. We've got Doris and Jim. They have $1 million. They have Social Security, both of them. They have a small pension, but they need a full 4% a year from their investments. And right now their portfolio, because due to the general stock market yield, and the general bond market yield, they only have a cash flow or income yield of about 3%. So they're going to need to generate an extra 1% from doing something, from selling something in the portfolio. And they're going to have to do that until their cash flow yield goes back up to meeting what they need every single year. Now, there's two ways to solve this equation, and I'm going to give you an example. One with owning a basket of the Dow, let's say one ETF that holds all 30 stocks, and another version of that where you actually own each individual stock. So you actually have 30 stocks as opposed to one ETF. And there's a very different result when it comes to pulling money out over time. And we're going to discuss this when we get back. Quick news, weather, traffic. Then we're going back to preserving the harvest in your harvest years right here with me, Wes Moss, on Money Matters.
Now back to Wes Moss of the money and investing advice you need.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Find me in the Money Matters team, WesMoss.com, WESMOSS.com. Contact button upper right-hand corner. Those emails come straight to me and the Money Matters team. How do you sustain the harvest? We're talking about two very different examples here. One, both owning the same stock. So we're going to just look at the Dow Jones 30, so just those 30 companies. In one scenario, and we're talking about Jim and Doris, they have $1 million. It's all in equity, so 100% stock. In one scenario, they have an ETF that holds the 30, one position, so just one position. In another scenario, they own each stock divided equally. 30 Dow stocks, $1 million, have about $33,000 in each particular company on an individual stock basis. So scenario one, and again, the whole point of this illustration here on Money Matters is to talk about how we distribute money over time without worrying about running out of money. Of course, the ideal scenario is to just generate enough income. You never have to sell anything. You need 4%, you're generating 4% in cash flow, dividends, interest, distributions. You never sell anything, so you never worry about running out of money. That's ideal. What if you need 5 and you're only generating 4? What if we're in a low interest rate environment like we still are today? Rates are going back up, which is a good thing for savers, investors. But if we end up with a yield that's, let's say, 3%, but we need 4, where do you get the extra 1%? You got to sell something. It's got to come from the basket of stocks that you own. And there's a very different scenario that's taking place if you own just a basket or an ETF or a mutual fund versus owning some of the individual companies, so that there's a different way to approach accessing that money. So we're talking about today, how do you sustain the harvest? You've been growing money all these years. How do you make sure it doesn't run out? I'm going to walk through two different versions of this methodology in the 10 o'clock hour. So stick around. Again, the number in the studio, though, 404-872-0750. At some point, we will go to calls. But stick around with us here for more Money Matters. News, weather, traffic straight ahead. Then more Money Matters with me, Wes Moss, right here, News 95.5 AM 750 WSB.